about.
I bring you a message. A message few of you will be able to believe. A message of great importance. A message I alone was able to read in the fires of the universe.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. I have to wish everybody a happy new year. It's going to be amazing. Happy new year.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
You might say, all in all, it's just another clock in the wall.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
Yeah. Doesn't get worse than him.
I'm out.
Kevin made a lot of sense there. I think you guys overlooked that.
Our feature presentation,
right? Happens all the time.
You're looking for some sort of support for that?
Yeah, statement? I mean, I wanted you to just say, yeah, sometimes we do overlook that brilliance.
That you're making a lot of sense
right.
Sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 22nd of June.
Seems like you're cutting a little close here this morning, Monkey.
I mean, I can't walked in during Don't Bogart, if that's what you're saying.
Well, we haven't played Don't Bogart yet, so I don't know when that would have been. But I was
Friday,
just...
Kevin.
It's Friday.
It's not Friday.
Hold.
Why is it
hold,
always
hold,
Friday
hold.
For you?
Just hold. Hold a second.
This happened last Thursday, too.
Hold on.
You're convinced it was Friday last Thursday.
Okay, hold. Okay, it's Thursday.
Okay.
All right, I'm good.
All day, Kevin.
Yeah.
All day.
I walked in during the open there, Bean.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say.
I was just wondering if maybe you met Officer Friendly again.
I did not.
Okay.
I drove behind people who go 48 to 50 miles per hour.
Felt good?
Great. I loved it. There's nothing better than traffic that could go the speed limit that doesn't.
We have a lot of show planned for today, but I want to get started with something that's very relevant, not only for Southern California, but anywhere you may be listening and around the world, because I don't know if you've noticed, the Earth is getting hot.
What?
And there are heat waves all over, not just Southern California into the hundreds, but into the 90s in parts of Europe that very rarely see it. And there's a little bit, Kevin, you're going to be actually pretty excited about this news. There's a little bit of a movement afoot to allow more people to wear shorts to work.
All right.
This heat wave has brought this into focus as more and more people are starting to complain. Look, it's ridiculous that I have to put on long pants when it's freaking 95 degrees outside and I have to work out here. You know, it's not – ladies get to wear dresses. I got to wear long pants. How is that fair? So the complaint is that there's some sexual discrimination going on. Now, that may be a thin premise.
Right.
But I will tell you that I think there's some evidence that it is starting to work. Earlier this week, Joey Barge was his name. He got a lot of attention for this. He works at a UK call center. So that's not even – I mean, that's not even a job where you're seeing customers.
Right,
or
you're not dealing with the public at all except for on the phone.
Right. So if that's your complaint, if your complaint is you have to have a professional appearance – you know, because you're dealing with the public, I get that. I don't love it, but at least I get the argument. This guy's on the phone. So he shows up wearing shorts. And by the way, not raggedy jeans cutoffs or cargo shorts or something like that that many would find offensive. Nice, you know, nice, fancy pants. Well, they sent him home. They said no. So he showed up the next day wearing a bright pink dress. And they had no way to stop him. They had no way to complain about that, right? Because he's wearing a dress, and you're allowed to wear dresses in the office.
Right.
As a result, the company changed their dress code to state that men in
no
the
dresses
would be allowed to wear – that would have been funny – to wear three-quarter-length shorts in black, navy, or beige only. So they're still putting restriction on. They want to make sure you don't show up with some sort of Madras shorts or something crazier, you know, beach shorts or something like that. Three-quarter-length shorts in black, navy, and beige only. Because everybody showing up in dresses,
sure.
Right? According to the Daily Mirror, five boys from the ISCA Academy in Exeter, Devon – also followed suit with a similar protest and strolled into class wearing shorts. They were told they would be put in an isolation room if they had worn shorts to school, so they borrowed dresses from their sisters and friends and showed up wearing shorts. By the way, 50 classmates showed up in dresses. One was sent home because the shorts, the skirt was too short. So I guess that's the rule for, you know, for either sex.
Sorry, son, like that's that. Too sexy.
Right. Well, there's a real danger if you're a dude and you're wearing a skirt that's too short, too. You got to be real careful. And one more. Here is the French city of Nantes. Bus drivers in the union there have been showing up for work wearing skirts as well. The drivers have called the ban on shorts absurd, again pointing out that female drivers are allowed to wear skirts, but men are not allowed to wear shorts. Our uniform is not appropriate for these high temperatures. They say, look, we don't understand the ban. When we are driving, we are seated. Travelers can't see our legs anyway.
Right.
So anyway, I'm just telling you, Kevin, you and I were way ahead of the curve on shorts being the appropriate appropriate attire for work.
We were dressing crappy before it was hip.
We've been saying it forever.
Right.
But now it looks like it's spreading around the world. So maybe the heat waves is good for something.
As we go, so goes the world, B.
That's what I've often said.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why would I have that information?
I'm about to give it to you. It's Dr. Drew we talked to on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
As always, we're going to talk sports with Jim Rome, talking about the Lakers and the NBA draft and the Clippers and the Dodgers.
By the way, did you see both you guys, Chip and Kevin, you guys saw the Duck and the King that went to the Golden Knights, right, in Las Vegas?
Two Ducks. Yeah.
Did see it. Two Ducks.
Oh, was it two Ducks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about the dude you lost, Kevin?
Braden McNabb was a good defenseman. Mm-hmm. He was good. I mean, but I think each team has to protect everybody except for –
Right.
Like two or three guys. And yeah. So they said he's great, but we've got other great players too. But that's sort of
sucked. you gotta let a new franchise field a team from somewhere, I guess.
It doesn't have to be good though, is what I'm saying. I don't know why you can't just three just like new guys that aren't any good. But anyway, two Ducks, huh?
Yeah, because they wanted to protect Sammy Vatanen and Josh Manson.
Right.
So they sent Clayton Stoner and then they sent over Shea Theodore just say, hey, don't take those guys.
All right. So. Well, that seems like collusion of some kind.
I'm fine with it.
That seems bad. Also on the program today, we're going to tell you about the Glastonbury Festival. I don't know if you've seen this ever or been there, but it's basically it's like Coachella if it was in a hurricane every year.
Well, the weather in Britain in the summer is not great.
Just mud.
Historically, yeah.
Mud.
Let me tell you a fascinating fun fact about Glastonbury, by the way. Is they hold it in a big field, but because it's an actual farm, they take every 7 years off to give the land a chance to come back and to be able to grow stuff.
They take every seventh year off from the festival, you mean?
From the festival. They just don't have it. Yeah.
Huh.
That's how they help regenerate the land, which I thought was interesting. And can you imagine if Coachella, well, it's an off year this year.
No,
just,
that would
just
suck.
Don't have it.
No.
So anyway, we'll find out more about the festival later, too.
That was Beans.
Fun fact. And your tickets for WWE Raw as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Only about 20 minutes or so away from your tickets to WWE Raw at Staples Center on June 26th. Also, we got House tickets today. That's the new film with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler for the K-Rock Advance screening. And Kaboo in San Diego tickets on the way as well. Hey, Ralph Garman. Oh, sorry. You there?
What's that?
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Ralph Garman. Hey, did you hear it's Friday?
Yeah, I heard. When Doe Bogart, that joint was playing this morning, I knew it was Friday.
That's how you can tell, right? Tell.
Yeah.
They had.
Boy, that hurt.
But how hurt? How could it hurt? You didn't hear it.
Hurt. It hurt.
No, it didn't hurt. No, you didn't hear it, so it didn't make you think it was Friday.
Thinking it was Friday, it hurt.
But why did you think it was Friday?
That I have no idea.
Then you hurt yourself.
Yes. Well, that's always the case. But then I was driving in, and I was late, and I thought, but at least I got the Doe Bogart song, so I'll be fine.
Oh, because that adds another minute to the open. Yeah.
That's what I thought on my way in.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then when you came in, you told Bean that you had come in during the Doe Bogart song.
That's what I assumed. I wasn't able to listen, so.
So now you're just taking guesses as what's on the air while you're being late?
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
Is it Friday every day in your mind, or just Thursdays?
So far, the last 2 weeks, it's just been Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I just wonder if we're going to have some Friday creep here. Pretty soon, it's going to be on a Tuesday. Wednesday. You're going to be like, oh, at least it's Friday.
Monday mornings. Oh, so good. I'm glad the weekend's coming soon. Well, really, when you think about it, when Kevin shows up to work, as often as he does.
How dare you. Uh-huh.
Any day really could be a Friday.
That's true.
Because the odds of him not working the next day are very high.
Now you've figured it out, Ralph.
It's
that's
tough
what
to keep
it
track.
Is. Yes. That's what it is.
Because every day is practically a Saturday, really, if you're not working.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, when we see you this coming Monday, then, will it feel like a Friday?
I can't answer that right now.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, yes, I would say it would.
I can. You're not coming in on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Or Tuesday, from what we've been told. So
maybe Wednesday.
So Sunday will be like Friday, because Monday and Tuesday are going to be like the weekend.
Boom. There you go.
No wonder it's confusing.
Now we're putting the pieces
together. We're lucky he keeps us straight as much as he does.
Right?
Exactly. Given his hectic schedule.
All right, it's 5:53. Let's find out what's going on this Thursday or Friday or Tuesday, whatever the hell day it is.
For those of you who are worried about George Clooney's finances, I think he's going to be okay.
He's going to be all right?
He'll be all right. Because he just sold his Casamigos tequila brand to the British beverage company Diageo for the low, low price of $1 billion.
Was that a major success?
It was a success. Casamigos.
Huh.
That's
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, he does have to split that with his partners, Randy Gerber and Mike Meldman. So,
and then after taxes.
Right?
Right.
We're like talking, 20
grand.
$250 million?
Right. It's
barely worth going into business.
What could you do with that?
Yeah, right.
Now, the story I heard, Ralph, and you're the Clundog expert here, but
sure.
The story I heard is that he and Randy were out. Are you turning up the music way loud, Kevin? Is that happening?
No.
Okay. The story I heard is that George...
See what you did?
They were out on a bender in Hollywood, and they were going from bar to bar to bar, and they thought there was a lot of variance in quality in the tequilas that they were getting. Some of them were real good, some of them were real bad, some of them were just average. And they said, this is ridiculous. We need to make our own that's exactly the way we like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I
so
bet
they made
it
for themselves,
like it
basically?
Essentially, they made it for themselves. Yeah.
Sweet.
They said, we're going to start our own brand, and we're going to find one that we can drink all night that doesn't burn our mouths and has a good taste and a good blend. And they kept tasting and tasting and tasting until they finally came across a blend that they liked, and that's what they made Casamigos.
And apparently a lot of other people liked it, too. And it's just a crazy, crazy success story for a guy who's successful in so many other areas, too.
Yeah. But look, his acting career...
Right.
Nowhere. His wife, not a success.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. So.
And dumpy.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not attractive himself, so money isn't everything. He's
that's
a lot
true.
Of, a lot of things not going well for him. Oh, wait. Everything's going well for him.
All right.
Bastard.
He's on Lake Como right now.
Yeah. You have to call him that, Bean. I've never even heard he was gay.
Lake
I don't know why you,
Como.
Why, what?
Italy.
Oh.
Lake Como.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was
got
different.
A, got
different,
a nice home there.
Different lake.
Hmm.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
I think this is a completely rational response. I'm glad to know that the director of the version of Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, that was done in New York in the park, which featured Donald Trump, a lookalike standing in for the Roman dictator. I think it's a reasonable response that he has been getting constant death threats. He and his family have been threatened with death.
Yeah.
For the past week. I think that's reasonable. Glad people are seeing that they can protest and be upset and still remain civil. So I'm glad to see that Oscar Eustace and his family have been threatened with death on the reg this week. So,
well, you kill a fake guy, an actor, in a play, you deserve to be killed in real life.
Right. That's what I always said. And the play is over. It has been for some time. So if you kill him, at least you'll do away with that other thing that bothered you 2 weeks ago. You'll travel back in time and everything will be better. So it all makes sense to me now.
And let me just add this for folks who don't follow the controversy or don't know anything about Julius Caesar. Is for hundreds of years, this play has been put on with a representative of somebody in the world playing the leader.
Yeah.
Playing Julius Caesar.
Only about 400 years.
Okay, 400 years.
Yeah.
Last year, they did this play with Obama. Obama was killed in the play.
Yeah.
That's just how sometimes it's King of England, sometimes it's President of France, sometimes it's Prime Minister of Canada. It's just that's how they do the play because the play is about contemporary times and what happens if you...
It's about power and politics.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
So it doesn't have anything to do with President Trump. It's not that. No one's trying to kill the president. Read a book.
But, Bean...
Right, read a book.
It hurts my feelings, so you must die. which is the new motto.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Exactly.
That's the next Kevin to be t-shirt.
You hurt my feelings, so you must die.
You must die.
Well, while we're talking the world of theater, and you know we love to do our theater updates on Fridays.
Thursday, Ralph.
What?
Be ridiculous.
I heard it this morning. A guy told me.
Well, you're listening to the wrong thing.
They're making a brand new musical called The Alan Freed Story. And Kevin, of course, Alan Freed, you know, is...
The announcer on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Yep. That, yep, that's who it was. They're making a musical about the guy who was the announcer in The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, who I think was Ed McMahon, if I'm not mistaken. Of all the announcers that you might have known.
I forgot about Ed McMahon.
It might have been him.
The one that we've known you personally.
Right.
Spent a lot of time with. I bet Kevin was thinking of Alan Coulter, the announcer for Late Night with David Letterman. I bet that's who was in his mind.
His name was Alan.
Yeah.
I see. Well, you're going to be even more confused because Tony nominee Alan Campbell will be playing Alan Freed in The Alan Freed Story.
Too many Alans.
Alan Freed, Kevin, was a man, well, you should know because he had the same job as you.
Okay.
He was a pioneering radio DJ.
Right.
In the 1950s.
And he couldn't talk?
Nope. He talked just fine.
Oh.
In fact, he was credited with coming up with a little phrase for this new music that he was playing. He called it rock. Roll.
Rock and roll!
And so, the play is called Rock and Roll Man, The Alan Freed Story. And it's the story of the guy who pretty much brought rock and roll into public consciousness. And I believe it was Cleveland, wasn't it, Bean?
Yes, it was.
Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, that's eventually where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would end up, largely because of the work of Alan Freed, who later went on to be the announcer on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Fascinating life, fascinating story. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. There was a
movie
made of his life called American Hot Wax many years ago.
Are we still talking about Alan Freed?
He's kind of an important
I know, but are we still talking about him?
In the profession and in the job and in the music that you listen to.
I left
to.
The conversation for a minute. Now I'm coming back in and asking if it's the same conversation.
It may not be, for all you know. It could be, could not
could
be.
Brand new.
Today's celebrity birthday is Meryl Streep, 68 years old today. Cyndi Lauper celebrates her 64th birthday. Bruce Campbell. We love Bruce Campbell around here.
It's the best.
59 years old. Actress Amy Brenneman is 53. Carson Daly, our buddy Carson Daly, celebrates his 44th birthday. And actor Donald Faison celebrates 53. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good times, you guys. Half Christmas is Sunday, of course. And then Monday is WWE Raw at Staples Center. You can buy your tickets right now at Access.com to see Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and all the rest WWE Raw superstars. Or you can win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Frankly, you're not going to believe what this game is called.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catchphrase me outside. How about that? Look.
Catchphrase me outside. How about that?
Here's the thing about these wrestlers, man, is they know how to pound their chests and promote themselves, right? And almost every great wrestler in the WWE in the long history of that sport has had a catchphrase, has had something that they say that is identified with them. We're going to be playing that audio from the wrestler for you. All you have to do is name the wrestler, and you win tickets for WWE Raw.
All right, we start with Chris in Anaheim. Hi there.
Good morning.
Are you ready? You understand the contest?
Sounds good.
Okay, here's your catchphrase. Tell us the wrestler.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Who is that?
I think that's Allie's favorite Roman Reigns.
That is Allie's favorite Roman Reigns, right?
I'm sorry she is not here to weep right now, but congratulations, Chris. You're going to WWE Raw. Well done, sir.
Let's go to James in Cyprus. Hi, James.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
I'll tell you what's up.
Catchphrase. Me outside. How about that?
All right, you ready for yours?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
I mean, he didn't spend a lot of time on that one, but who is that, James?
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan is right.
All right, two for two.
Congratulations.
Well, enjoy the show Monday night.
Let's go to Mike in Anaheim. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Catchphrase. Me outside. How about that?
Here's yours.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
All right, who Who's that?
It's Bret Hart.
Bret the Hitman Hart, right? Congratulations.
3 for 3.
How about that?
By the way, all week long, we've had phenomenal contestants.
Yeah.
I count on one or two fingers how many contestants have missed in the games that we've played.
So no pressure, Gabe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you? Gabe in West Covina, you ready for yours?
Yes.
There you go.
Limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
All right, who's that?
Woo, that's Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is correct. Nicely done. 4 for 4. This is our last one. If he gets it right, Robert in Hacienda Heights. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. We're doing
phrase.
We all saw. How about that?
You ready?
Yes, I am.
Here's yours.
And I quote, as Raw General Manager, I think it doesn't matter what you think.
All right, who's that?
That's just one of many that The Rock had.
The Rock, indeed.
And whatever happened to that guy once he got out of wrestling, right?
Disappeared.
I am so impressed. Chris, James, Mike, Gabe, and Robert have all won tickets to WWE Raw. Don't forget, you can buy them at AXS.com. Go see the show at Staples Center June 26th. This has been Catchphrase Me Outside. How about that?
Catchphrase
Me Outside. How about that?
How's it going?
Great. You?
I'm just want to make sure everybody's okay.
All good.
Here's a crazy story out of Russia. By the way, I have mad respect for this guy's name, Metropolitan Cornelly. His first name is Metropolitan. That just says power to me. I love that name.
Okay.
He is a primate, it says. I'm unfamiliar with that term, of the Russian Orthodox Old Believer Church. Now, the Old Believers, Kevin, are, you know, like Orthodox religious people in our country, which is at some point in history, in the Middle Ages, there was a Reformation, and they didn't cotton to the new rules.
Right.
They're not New Testament people. They believe in the fire and brimstone of God and Moses and Abraham. And one of the things that Mr. Cornelly is talking about how is that men should not violate religious rules and shave off their beards.
That's a religious rule?
Yes. God gave us the rules. It is written that the Lord created everyone with a beard. In the Catholic West, it has completely disappeared from this concept. But this is unequivocal. Icons, we cannot imagine Christ or any saint without a beard. A person should not resist his creator. He goes on to say that another reason to keep that beard, if you're a Russian man, is to protect yourself from homosexuality. That confused me when I saw that. Men with beards are less likely to be corrupted by same-sex relationships, Mr. Well, Cornelly says.
At least he's not a leader in the church in Russia.
It's made a – and he is, by the way. He's friends with Vladimir Putin.
Oh, fact. Great.
It's made a monstrous thing to see men's clothing and hairstyles changing. So he still wears the old garb from 1,000 years ago and lets that beard grow. And I assume no temptation there as a result of having that beard.
That doesn't even make sense.
Well, I don't.
None of it makes sense.
I do not pretend to be an expert on the gospel. I don't know. But let's get Metropolitan Cornelly on the line here. He, again, the primate of the Russian Orthodox Old Believer Church, and he joins us from Russia right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're okay. Your story has made news here in America.
I'm glad to hear you're speaking of important things in America, things that must be discussed and dealt with ways of God.
I mean, mm-hmm. It sounds foolish to us. Don't get us wrong.
Oh,
but
well, enjoy hell.
Okay.
For you. That's where you're going with all your nasty mouth.
Now, not that there's anything wrong with being gay, but if I don't have a beard, does that mean I am more likely to find other men attractive and they to find me more attractive?
Listen, let me tell you the ways of God.
Please.
Okay.
God gave us ways to be that are from Him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you must be doing this. And God created every man with beard.
Now, I've never seen that anywhere in the Bible.
Well, let me ask you something.
Okay.
If you were to stop shaving, what would you get?
I would get a beard.
Thank you. Drop the mic.
Okay.
That's God's way, not the way of Gillette. Okay?
Oh, I see.
The way of God. That's the way He created you.
So, in other words,
be the way God created you. Be the way everything was in the olden times.
So, by shaving, I'm going against God's
will. You're disrespecting what God intended for you. You must be like old times. You must first let your beard grow.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you get off work there at the quarry, and you come home to your wife and your dog Dino, and you have the garbage disposal bird that you put the food in, and yabba dabba doo is the way of the olden times.
Wow.
But, Mr. Quarterly, that's just the Flintstones. That's a cartoon series from the 50s.
Please, call me Metro.
Metro.
And here's the thing. The problem with all these things that are changing with the dressing and the hairstyles and the shaving is making men gay.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's true, though.
If you shave a nice face clean, you go, oh, that looks pretty good. Maybe I'll like go sit on there.
No, that's not what's happening.
That doesn't happen
at
all.
It happens every day. If you have a hairy face, you say, oh, that reminds me of my mother. Because she had quite a mustache, my mother.
Right. Well, maybe
femininity in Russia. Facial hair equals femininity.
I see. Maybe that's the discrepancy here. I got
you. If you're gay, you cannot have beard.
But there are a lot of people
like you fellas, and your wives are your beard. You see what I did there?
6.7 K Rock is KROQ, LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Thursday mornings on the program, we catch up with some professionals who are experts in their field. I'm referring to Dr. Drew Pinsky and Jim Rome, both on the program later on today. First, Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on Thursday.
I am Ralph Garman, and this is the Showbiz Beat. Welcome.
Thank you, Ralph Garman.
Thank you.
That was odd.
With the Showbiz Beat.
Just bringing you, I'm bringing you in. I'm welcoming you.
I see. Okay.
Welcome you. Please sit.
Okay, I mean.
Sit a spell. Let's share. Not actually sit down, Kevin.
I can't reach you.
Then you're away from the microphone.
Oh,
so you have to get closer. We were talking in the last hour about this production of Julius Caesar in New York City done by the Public Theater. It was Shakespeare in the Park, and it was Julius Caesar, and it was Trump-themed. The character of Caesar was played by a guy with bad hair and a really long tie, and it was obviously an allusion, if you will, to the President of the United States. And this has upset many, many people. And we talked about the fact last hour that the director of that production, Oscar Eustace, has been receiving death threats. He and his family have been receiving death threats since the production. One man called Oscar's house 9 times in 30 minutes, then called back the next day, threatening the director and his daughter with all sorts of nastiness. And
when did that become our default anger move?
The death threat?
Yes.
The death threat is the go-to.
That's insane.
But I did not realize this until I was searching the internet, and I realized last night on Seth Meyers. By the way, if you're not watching Seth Meyers, late night Seth Meyers, just terrific show. He had on his old pal Amy Poehler. She's on, of course, to promote her movie The House.
It's coming out
with Will Ferrell. Can't wait for that film. But they used to do a bit on Saturday Night Live called Really?
Yeah.
Where they say, really? Like, they were sort of disbelieving what was happening in the news. And they addressed this in a way that I thought was very funny. Here's last night's Late Night with Seth Meyers, Amy Poehler, talking about the protesters at the Julius Caesar production.
Really? Really, protester? Now, let me get this right. You waited in line to get tickets to a play you already hated, and then you watched it for 3 hours, and then you ran on stage to protest, but not the president, but someone who is dressed like the president, from getting pretend stabbed with a fake knife. Really? I commend you. You know, if you want to change this country, you just can't sit around your house yelling at the TV. You have to get out there and yell at a play. Really? You know what? You've made actors so upset that Daniel Day-Lewis has quit now. You made Lincoln quit.
Really?
Yes.
They're so fun together. I miss those guys. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are in the news. They're going to have another baby.
All right.
Well, technically, they're going to have another baby.
What does that mean?
Well, I think Kim has decided she doesn't want to deal with all that icky stuff like gaining weight and having a baby inside her belly. So much easier to farm that deal out.
Okay.
To outsource that job.
You can take more swimsuit photos if you're not pregnant.
Right? Imagine the work it takes to get that ass back into shape after a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is you want to outsource the job send it overseas to where the taxes are lower and they have babies for less money. She is hiring a surrogate.
Can you imagine what that surrogate is going to have to put up with from those two?
Constant.
Right.
Just micromanagement.
What'd
well, there's a
today?
Long list already of things.
Oh, is there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. she's not allowed to have sex after the three-week period, after the embryo was implanted.
Are you kidding me?
Because that's been proven scientifically.
Not at all.
Oh, not
I
at all.
I thought you could have sex until like your eighth month
you
and
can.
There's no damage to the baby.
You can. No raw fish, of course. Well, that's legitimate. Can't change cat litter. That's bad for you when you're pregnant.
I've heard that, yeah.
Drinking drugs, smoking, as you can imagine, are also on the list. The surrogate will earn a cool $45,000 with a bonus of $5,000 for each twin or triplet child that she provides.
Just an extra $5,000.
Exactly. For another tenfold in discomfort and pain.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That sounds like a bad deal to me, $45,000.
I don't know anything about what surrogates get paid.
I don't either.
Do you know? Is that high, low, or about average?
I don't know, but I know Kim Kardashian made $14 million in her makeup line yesterday.
Uh-huh.
How about cutting off a little of that for the baby carrier?
Yeah, no kidding.
They're awful. It's just the worst. This made me sad. Yesterday in Wisconsin, guy's just driving along. Cop pulls him over to check his plates. Finds some drug paraphernalia inside.
Okay. Which drug paraphernalia?
Yeah, I think it was a bong.
All right.
Maybe some pot. He gets popped for drug-related items. Goes to jail, has to cash bail of $100. It's sad.
His bail is $100?
Yeah. It's sad because it's Shock G of Digital Underground. Shock G's my man. Do you think when he got pulled over by the cop said, "Sir, what's your name?" You say, "I'm Humpty."
My name is Humpty.
Yeah.
And I'm with the Humpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to fuck thee. And all the rappers
he's
in the
turning up the radio.
Yep. Allow me to bump thee. Mm. I'm stepping tall, y'all. And just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme. I like my beats funky. I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy.
Yeah.
He said, "I just asked your name, sir. I just want your ID, please."
My name is Humpty.
My name is Humpty. Pronounced with the umpty.
It is pronounced with an umpty. You can't deny that.
He's right.
Humpty is absolutely pronounced with an umpty.
I mean, that is correct.
Shock G, also known as Gregory Jacobs, Humpty Hump, Piano Man, Rackadelic, MC Blowfish, Gregory Racker, Icy Mike, Michael Boston, E7L, Peanut Hakeem Anafu Washington, Shakim Bokaj V, and that jit got a dolphin nose.
That is not a name he goes by.
Was arrested and booked on June 13th, held for 2 hours before he posted his $100 bail.
So the paperwork alone on the also known as for
can
that arrest.
Can you imagine?
Poor cop.
Pages and pages.
It's so sad he wrote it.
I know the Humpty Dance is a while ago.
Oh, come on.
That's a great
song.
But
it's forever. It is forever.
All right.
But what's the deal with the fake nose? What, does anyone know what the history of that
He's
was?
He's Humpty. Like, pronounced Humpty. With an umpty. Okay. Do we need to...
My name is Humpty.
Yeah.
Pronounced with the umpty.
It's his story,
yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all. And just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme. I like my beats funky. I'm spunky.
I like my oatmeal lumpy. Wow, those were the good days of rap when they talked about important things.
Right? Isn't that all you need to know about Humpty?
Like your oatmeal.
That's a great effing song, man.
He still wears the nose, by the way.
Why, though?
Because it's awesome.
Okay.
Well, what part of that don't you understand?
Okay.
How can he not wear the nose?
All right.
Why aren't we wearing fake noses
is the real question.
Thank you. I want to remind folks, Saturday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, it is I, Ralph Garman, Kevin Smith, writer, director extraordinaire.
No.
We take the stage together with a show we call Hollywood Babylon. Happening this Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. Come on out and join us. We have a pretty good time. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Just click on Hollywood. The rest is a piece of cake. Today's celebrity birthdays. Meryl Streep is 68 years old today. Hack.
Right? Overrated, I heard.
overrated, totally, completely overrated actress. The worst, okay? I'm so sad.
Wrong.
Cyndi Lauper is 64 years old today. Bruce Campbell's 59. Amy Brenneman turns 53 years old today. Carson Daly, he's a television personality and also a radio DJ, it says here.
We had him fire a guy once.
I was wondering how your feud with him over the coffee worked out.
All I know is coffee pot's been full. Coffee pot's been full.
Oh, boom.
I fired a shot across his bow.
It wasn't us. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. Now it's full all the time.
I guess it was somebody.
Huh.
It wasn't you. Sure was somebody.
Huh. Interesting.
Carson Daly.
Right.
And Donald Faison celebrates his 53rd birthday. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:05.
The craziest video of road rage I have seen in a long time. We're going to post that and discuss it later this half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, a lot of people have been complaining lately that we're dropping the ball on playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So we're going to take care of that for you next, too.
All right, great news.
Decided to play some Chili Peppers this morning.
Great news!
Mix things up. Oh, is it time for great news?
That's great news!
I love great news. Look, here's the thing. You turn on the TV and the radio these days, there's so much crappy news, right?
Right.
So many things to get depressed and sad about. We thought it would be time to bring you some great news. Kevin, you want to go first?
I do want to go first.
We got nothing other than that. We have no production, nothing.
That's not enough.
No.
Great news is now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is this a community college?
News that's great.
Do we have a song? Nothing? A jingle?
Each of us loves a story that's good.
That's it?
Don't we have a guy in the other room who makes those?
Nope, just me riffing.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not great news.
Hey,
you got to give me a little more time than that.
That's not great news.
But this is great news.
All right.
What do you got? Burger King has come out with a Lucky Charms milkshake.
Yay!
Who's with me?
Well, at least your priorities are
best
consistent.
Breakfast cereal ever, Lucky Charms.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're magically delicious, Ralph.
I've heard.
So they put it in a milkshake. This is following up on their Fruit Loop milkshake, which was not quite as good. But Lucky Charms milkshake.
I saw you throwing a bunch of cash at Beer Mug this morning.
He's on his way, yes.
He's going to Burger King right now.
Yes, it has more sugar than the Starbucks unicorn cappuccino or whatever that thing was. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
Frappuccino.
But isn't, look, I'm not trying to poo-poo on your milkshake here. But
I hope not. That's a whole new milkshake we're coming out with next week.
That would not be great news.
Isn't a regular milkshake like 1,000 calories just on its own?
No, don't be ridiculous.
This has serious, though.
This has 740 calories, 17 grams of fat.
Oh, my God.
But I think it's the good fat.
Over 700 calories in one drink.
580 milligrams of sodium and 129 grams of carbohydrates. So
and that's what makes it delicious.
That's what makes it delicious.
For a lot of people, that's half your caloric intake for the day.
Right, but you'd be drinking a Lucky Charms milkshake. Great news!
Does it include the marshmallows? Is that part of it?
I think that's most of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just the marshmallows and vanilla salt.
Just melted marshmallows and a straw.
Ice cream. Come on now. How is everyone not excited about this?
Because we're not children. Because we're not 10.
But that's great news.
If you're in grade school. It's grade news.
All right, listen, Ralph, we're going to... Muggs is on his way. He's going to bring us one, and you're going to try it.
Okay.
And you're going to love it.
All right.
And that's going to be great news.
Ralph Carpenter, you want to go next?
Yes, I thought this was amazing. You know, a lot of people in London are still dealing with the after effects of the tragic fire at Grenfell Tower in West London. And we talked about Adele. She was there on site as it was happening, comforting victims and their families. She went to see the fire department afterwards. Well, those people are still reeling from that horrible disaster there in London. And it's very cool that some of the musicians from the London music scene have gotten together to create a special charity recording that will be raising money for the victims of the Grenville disaster.
That's very cool.
Simon Cowell helped put it together. It is The Who is part of it, Brian May of Queen, Niles Rogers of Chic, James Blunt, Gregory Porter, Rita Ora, Lewis Tomlinson. I mean, it's like 50 British recording artists have gone together and put together a cover of the classic Simon and Garfunkel song Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Have you watched this video yet, Rob?
It's remarkable.
It's so well done, right?
You can make a donation at artistsforgrenfell, GRENFELL.com if you have a desire to help the victims of this disaster, and I think you should. Artistsforgrenfell.com is the website to go to. Here's a little taste of this amazingly powerful, I mean, I love this song anyway, but this version is so powerful, and at the end they bring together some of the families of the victims of this fire to sing background in this production, and here's a little piece of the Bridge Over Troubled Water charity recording. Artistsforgrenfell.com is the website.
It's a little We Are the World, little Do They Know It's Christmas,
yeah,
one
it's
of those
very cool
charity singles. And they just whipped this thing together in a hurry, man, but it's just beautifully done.
Yeah.
That's great news. Great news.
Smooth as silk. Just working.
Yeah. All right, and I'm going to close it out. I also have a song, you guys. It's no Bridge Over Troubled Water, but do you remember a number one hit from 8 years ago by an artist that I like to call Owl City? You guys remember Owl City?
Sure.
What? Had the Fireflies song.
Yes.
And it is back in the news for a very specific and interesting reason. Here's a little bit of the way the Fireflies began. You guys remember this song.
This is not great news.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep.
All right, so 10 million fireflies, and if you're doing the math, here's later on in the song, you hear this.
Because I get a thousand hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they tried to teach me how to dance.
A lot of people have been in the years since that song came out confused by Owl City's math.
Trying to figure out the math?
Try to figure it out, how it works. So somebody actually reached out to Owl City on Facebook this week and said, in the song Fireflies, you state, I get a thousand hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs. How do you interpret this statement? Does each firefly hug you a thousand times, or do only one-tenth of the bugs give you a hug?
They're not all huggers.
How does it work? And that was what the confusion was. And I know it's hard to believe 8 years later, but Owl City has responded with a breakdown of how he arrived at the math in the song Fireflies. Great question, he said. I was the recipient of 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs for a grand total of 10 million hugs. As the lyrics of the song clearly state, the average layperson would not believe their eyes if 10 million fireflies were to illuminate the planet Earth, nor would the average person conclude by natural instinct that 10,000 lightning bugs acting as a collective group are capable of embracing a human being 1,000 times without difficulty. By the same token, a gathering of lightning bugs in such vast numbers form a sort of swarm, and a swarm can collectively surround a human and deliver a hug that a single firefly, acting according to the dictates of his own conscience, simply cannot. Consequently, I was embraced 1,000 times by 10,000 lumescent insects. Would you like to hear more?
No.
No.
This may seem inconceivable.
Wait,
due to the firefly's
you asked a question.
Soft-shelled body, which is common among all winged beetles within the Lampridae insect family.
All right, Bean can no longer do great news.
When does the great news start? What part is great?
The great news is that he's answered the question that has bugged so many people who have heard that song over the last
it's
8 years.
It's less than great. That's not even good.
How does the math work out with this many fireflies and this many hugs?
And that's... How did great news become Bean's fun fact?
Right? I think we need to judge each person. Oh, no, we better not do that because mine sucked too then. So then just Ralph will do great news.
Apparently.
Wow. You have more, Bean?
Well,
no,
you
don't.
I think this has been great news.
Sorry, again.
Come on, give me the goddamn echo.
Yeah, you have it.
This has been great news.
Did you guys hear that Owl City just came up with the math on that song that they had?
I did hear that. Is that great? That is great news, Kevin. It's a definition of great news. What that is?
Bean can't play that anymore.
Nope.
How dare you?
Glastonbury.
Yes, it is Britain's greatest music festival. This is the weekend. It goes on in Somerset in England. By the way, Radiohead, Foo Fighters, Ed Sheeran, Royal Blood, Alt J, great to Solange, Lord, great lineup again.
They always have a great lineup. Yeah.
They really do. They bring it. And it's a famous festival for a lot of reasons. One is the music and the other is the mud. Those are the two things that are takeaways. But now, this year, there's something new at Glastonbury. They have figured out a way to, they have a huge 40-person urinal that people will be using. And they have figured out a
40 persons.
Yes, like a trough, like you'd see at Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
So they figured out a way to take the gallons and gallons and gallons of urine that is going to be going through that system and turn it into electricity and use it to run like information boards and to run charging stations for cell phones. They're turning pee into power. And that's pretty remarkable technology, I think.
Now, if they can just get the people that go to that festival to pee where they're supposed to.
That's a good point, Kevin, because a lot of them would just be peeing in the grass, I'm sure. And that's just wasted water. But I just think this is amazing technology, and we wanted to find out more about this and what the implications of for the future are. And we asked Dave if there's anyone we could talk to. And from the Bristol Bioenergy Center, we have Lewis McAlpine on the line with us from Britain. Hey, Lewis, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good.
We're doing great. Glad to hear it.
Well, are you going to be at Glastonbury yourself this weekend?
Of course I'm going to be there. I'm in charge of pee power.
Okay. Now, I just gave a very rough sketch of how the pee power works. I don't have any idea of the details.
You're a stupid, stupid man.
I actually am when it comes
to... You know nothing of the power of pee.
I don't. Could you explain just briefly for our listeners, sir, how you can take urine and turn that into electricity?
I'll try to put it in words that even you can understand, you great lummox.
Please.
Thank you.
These fuel cells that we use, which create electricity, they house bacteria.
Okay.
And the bacteria literally eat the human urine. That creates biochemical energy as a byproduct, which we turned into electricity. It's microbial fuel, you great pillock!
All right, it sounds like that might have been an insulting thing you just said.
It is! You're too dumb to know you're being insulting!
Okay, look, don't you have to come at us. We brought you on to
no,
share
that's
the...
a different kind of power. We don't use
no,
that.
No. I'm saying no. We brought you on the air to share the good news, the technology that you've come up with. It's great stuff.
Technology can use any form of organic waste and turn it into useful energy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need fossil fuels no more because you got pee and you can use poop.
I mean, I've heard of buses that run on feces. What's happening right now? Oh, Lou.
I'm just powering my engine.
Come on. Oh, no.
After
not while
big
you're...
big breakfast, I like to power my engine.
Come on. Not now. While you're on the phone with
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... Come on.
You got to power up.
Do you want us to give you a minute and then we can
I'm
come back?
I'm all good
okay.
now.
All right.
Ah. Oh, don't you love the empty feelings?
Okay. We don't really need to get into the details.
I mean, it does what?
Oh, my engine stopped again.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Okay.
What? Why is this happening?
I don't feel like...
Okay.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, thank you.
Good work, Lewis.
Oh, that's going to keep that engine running for some time.
That's great news.
That was a burrito from last night, I think. Yes, you can use this to power anything, and the folks at Glastonbury... they'll be able to look at lights and look at the information boards, all thanks to urine.
Wow.
That's good news. Yeah.
It's great news.
That is great news. Right.
Other than that stupid lightning bug thing you said.
You were listening to that?
Dave King of Mexico, our producer, in studio with us right now. Dave, I know you're very excited about our talk with Jim Rome coming up just after 8, because the NBA draft, you're all about that right now, right?
Giddy, yeah.
It's like Christmas Day for you.
But it's not just like, you know, I'm a Clipper fan. It's not just about the Clippers. It's about the whole league in general. Yeah. Like, so exciting.
A lot of people, it's funny, I've been seeing a lot of comments online this week about how there are people who enjoy the NBA offseason just as much as during the season, just because of all the moves that are getting made. So anyway, we'll catch up with Romy coming up just after 8. First, though, I'm glad you're here for this as well, Dave, because this, we can't stop watching this video. This is one of the craziest, Is it fair to call it a dash cam video? It's really a passenger in a car who shot this with a phone, right?
Yes.
But it looks like a dash cam video, and it's one of the craziest things I've seen locally. And and every once in a while you come across something, you go, it doesn't look like real life because you're so used to seeing crashes like this in the movies. You
right.
can't believe this happened for real in front of somebody. Kevin, before we get in the tape here, why don't you describe what's going on?
It was Wednesday morning. It was a carpool lane of the southbound 14 freeway. And what the first thing you see in the video is there's a motorcycle to the left of a car, and they're both in the carpool lane. Both of them are sort of occupying the same space.
Now, do we think that the person who shot the video picked up the phone and started shooting because of something they had seen before this moment?
Absolutely. I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I believe something was happening between those two
Because
people.
Otherwise, why would they?
Yes.
Why would they?
And
right.
they figured out, like, all right, something's going to happen here. I'm going to get it on video.
And it is thought that the motorcyclist kicked the car while going by it. For whatever
it's not,
reason.
It's not thought. It's not you can thought. See it. He yeah. kicks the car. Reaches out with his right foot and literally tries to kick the car as hard as he can.
So let's speculate briefly as to what happened to lead that motorcyclist to do that.
Let's play the Channel 2 report.
Okay.
And then she's describing it, and then we can try to figure out exactly what was going on.
And more amazing pictures, a scary case of road rage on the 14 freeway. And now police are looking for that motorcyclist who kicked his bike into high gear and then kicked the side of a car.
CBS 2's Lori Perez is live in Santa Clarita this morning with a closer look. Lori?
All right. Now, I love when news does this. So it happened yesterday, and then they have a reporter out there in the same location that it happened. But
for
on,
no reason.
But on location, as if there's something else that can be gained by this?
Right. In other words, this lady we're about to hear could just as easily be giving her report in the studio.
Right, exactly, yes.
Well, Sharon and Jeff, I think I've watched this video about 10 times already. It is that hard to believe. This all played out on the southbound 14, just past the Newhall exit, during yesterday's busy morning commute at about 10 before 6, and it was captured, as you'll see, by the dash cam of a driver a few car lengths behind. On the video, we see the remarkable exchange from start to finish. Watch carefully as a motorcyclist kicks at a car in the HOV lane. Remember, this is at freeway speeds. The car goes out of control, swerving into and then bouncing off the middle barriers. With a spray of fiery sparks, it crosses back into the other lanes of traffic, where it T-bones a white truck, sending it spinning, and then that truck flips over a few times. Remarkably, only one person in all of this was hurt. CHP says the driver of that white truck has none life-threatening injuries. Now, the car came to a rest, but in that video, you might also have seen that the motorcyclist just kept going. It did not stop, and that's important because this came in as a hit run crash to CHP this morning. They are looking for witnesses to help them figure out how this happened, as well as to try and find
that. Sounds like she's actually standing in traffic. Cars are flying by.
And by the way, part of the reason this thing looks, I don't want to say fake because obviously it's real, we know what happened, but the reason it looks like it's a movie is the fact that the motorcyclist just keeps going. In real life, you just expect people are going to stop if they get involved in an accident.
Yeah, even if you're having that road rage problem, don't you stop when you see a car flip over?
I don't know because...
And fire! Like, when that car hits the median, it kind of, there's a little bit of fire in it.
All right, so I disagree with that report because she says that the motorcyclist kicked the car and he lost control.
No, that's absolutely
I don't
wrong.
Think that's the
oh,
case.
No,
the car tried to run the motorcycle into the middle.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just lost control.
And just then lost control and runs straight into the wall in the median and then goes back into traffic. Imagine the truck driver. He doesn't see any of this, probably.
By the way, out of nowhere, this car comes.
Right.
Yeah, he's the only one that got hurt, too.
And all of a sudden, he's flipping because the car hit his truck, and he's flipping, and then the motorcyclist just took off.
This could have been a 10-car accident easily, though.
Could have easily been death as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because these are freeway speeds that they're going with a car just bouncing like a ping pong ball right across all lanes of traffic. I mean, it's insane. By the way, this video that we're talking about, we do have up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to see it. Will somebody, they have this video, and I haven't looked close enough to know. Is there any way to get the license plate of the motorcycle?
I haven't checked if it's clear enough to do that.
Well, yet. You know, just I watch a lot of TV and CSI, they could blow up everything and see it perfectly. So I'm assuming
that
that's going to happen.
That does happen on CSI.
So
at least make it a little bit blurry every once in a while.
Because I'm wondering what kind of charges come down for the motorcyclist and in addition to the driver that ended up bouncing all over the freeway.
I mean, honest to God, just from what we saw, and she also said that we saw everything. I assume there was a lot going on because why then would somebody start videotaping it?
Well, now in the CBS 2 report you played, she said it was a dash cam.
She's all wrong, man.
She doesn't know.
But she can't hear. She's on the freeway.
But I'm saying, like, when the video begins, they are side by side in the same space, and the motorcyclist kicks the car. I can't imagine there wasn't a little bit of going back and forth where they're getting a little bit more angry, a little bit more angry every time.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, it looks like the motorcycle sped up to meet the car.
So I don't know what the charge is for the motorcyclist who kicked the car, but I would think for the car, it looked like the car was trying to drive that motorcyclist right into the median, right into that wall.
That's what it looks like.
I mean, you could argue attempted murder for that.
It is crazy. And then he loses control and runs perpendicular right into the wall and spins out. And the truck's flipping and everything. All hell breaks loose. And the motorcyclist just takes off.
How do you go, like, all right, I'm going to have breakfast now. You know, take
crazy.
Off. Going to have some cereal shake.
This video had everything but Tom Cruise in it.
Right? It does look fake.
It does.
Only because you don't see this kind of stuff in real life very often.
No.
Michael Bay would be proud of this.
He would.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But
anyway, it's crazy. And we put it up on social media. It's on our Facebook page. Also, Twitter, Kevin and Bean, or at Clyde Tumba, or at the Kevin Ryder with a Y. It's insane. And they are looking for the motorcyclists so they can try and track down.
Don't kick cars and run people off the road, people.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah. Don't do that.
We'll stick with that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hey, is Burger King a sponsor?
Sure.
Oh, Kevin loves that Lucky Charm shake then.
He loves it. Hey, King of Mexico? Burger King a sponsor?
If they're not, they might be someday, or maybe we want them to
it's
be.
It's the best.
So let's just...
It's the best shake.
Let's just
it's
err great. On the side of niceness.
I've never tasted anything better.
There you go.
It was as advertised, maybe even better, is
right?
What I heard Kevin say.
Exactly true.
Jim Rome on sports coming up just after the top of the hour at 7:52. Now Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, sir.
Let me give you something for being nice and listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Wow. Imagine what we would have to give people, really... To give them something that was commensurate with listening to this show.
Especially longtime listeners.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to
give them like a kidney or something. You'd have to give them
them an actual house.
A diamond the size of a fist. Anyway, we're going to give you a little something. It's not as much as you deserve.
Right.
But it's the best we can do. How about a pair of passes, the K-Rock Advanced Screening of The House?
Yay!
The House, starring Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler, is happening at the Arclight Hollywood on June 28th. That's when our K-Rock Advance screening will be. You'll see it before the plain folks, the little people, get to see it in theaters on June 30th. If you'd like to see The House, and why wouldn't you? This thing looks freaking hilarious. You know, Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler only intersected for one season on Saturday Night Live?
Is that right?
I didn't realize that.
Huh.
She came on with Seth Meyer, and she was talking about it on his show, and a bunch of other... cast members came on just as Will was exiting.
No kidding.
They only intersected for that one season, but boy, they're funny together. This movie looks great. June 28th at the Arclight Hollywood. If you'd like to see the K-Rock Advanced screening, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through with that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to see the movie. I think I'll see you there. I think I'm going to go to this one because I can't wait.
Looks so good.
Speaking of movies... This is big news. Unexpected big news. You may have heard that the directors of the new Han Solo standalone film, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, were fired from the project mid-shoot. They're in production.
That's rare, right?
Super rare.
That seems bad.
It's very bad. 4.5 months into production to fire the directors. Apparently creative differences between Lawrence Kasdan, who is... the studio veteran screenwriter who is working on the project, as well as Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm, just not getting along, butting heads. So they're gone. You're making a movie, you need a guy to step in. Hey, can we find a director to step in? Can we find some hack who can just come in here and just
mop up and just finish this film?
It's such a big project.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Ron Howard has been named as the new director of the Han Solo standalone.
I mean,
film.
All right.
I think this is the first time I can remember a big time movie director joining the ranks of a franchise like this. I mean, usually it's the other way around. If you make a franchise picture that's a big hit, then you go on to a big career as a director. But you rarely see it go the other way around. You know, you don't see Spielberg doing Marvel superhero movies. Or,
right.
You know, you don't see De Palma or Scorsese coming in one of these guys. Ron Howard's been a director, wildly popular director, for 20 years, 25 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's stepping in to pick up the reins of the Han Solo standalone film. I think it's a great idea.
So he has to use pretty much everything that's been shot so far?
Yep.
Yeah, he's got to match the tone and everything else, yeah, I would think.
But, look.
But if there's a guy to do it.
I don't think matching the tone is necessarily a problem because I don't believe the tone that Phil Lord and Chris Miller were creating was very popular with the people who were producing the show.
It sounds like it, yeah. Ah.
So I think they're going to let him come in and do his own take on it. He's still got another 4.5 months to shoot. There's reshoots that are already built into the schedule, so he can go back and change whatever he needs to. And look, he also has a long-standing relationship with Lucas. If you remember, he was in Lucas's breakout film, American Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
Also worked in Willow as a director for Lucas in 1988. So,
I want to ask your opinion on something that calls for speculation, Ralph.
Because
the
reports,
that we have heard are that Lord and Miller were going for too light a tone.
Yeah, they were yucking it up.
But
these are the Lego guys, by the way. If you don't recognize the name, these are the guys who wrote and directed the Lego movie.
But hasn't that been part of the character of Han Solo from the beginning? Was that he is he's a funny guy.
There has to be a thin veneer of humor on top of his character because he is sort of a lovable rascal. But at the same time, he's also a badass and a smuggler and a outlaw. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can sacrifice one part of that character for the other. I don't think you can lean too heavy.
So it sounds like they were trying to lean too heavy.
I think
they
were making
it
too light. Yeah,
yeah. He needs to still be, like you said, a badass too.
Right.
Okay.
So don't be bad.
Can you imagine doing all that work and then Ron Howard comes in and he's like, you know what? Let's just start from scratch.
Let's do this whole thing over, guys.
I was just going to add, let's not sweat it, though, because Star Wars movies recently have a way of working out.
No, remember, it's doomed.
But remember,
it's never going to work.
When you heard about the reshoots for Rogue One, everybody was like, oh, this movie's a disaster.
It's going to be awful. Solo's going to suck. It's the worst.
And then it comes out and it just is great.
Yeah. You guys will be happy to know that Gene Simmons has abandoned his application to the United States Patent and Trademark Office. He's no longer trying to trademark the devil horns, the rock and roll hand.
Rock and roll!
The rock and roll fingers in the air with the thumb
rock
out.
Rock and roll!
That, he is no longer trying to...
Well, that didn't last long.
Trying to
is he tired of getting laughed at?
Pursue that. I think that may be it. Yeah.
Because it's absurd.
Well, it seems a little late in the game to be coming out and saying it's mine.
Yeah.
Plus absurd.
It was predicted that he would fail in this case anyway. Many trademark lawyers are saying, look, that gesture has become what they call genericized, which means just used by everyone. You
right,
know?
Right.
Simmons said he laid down the templates for that two-fingered deviled horde salute that started with Kiss. He said it was inspired by Spider-Man shooting webs.
He's making stuff up now,
right?
Making stuff up, yeah. Anyway, it's out. It's gone.
I think just for usage, I think Chip's got a real claim on that middle finger salute.
She does throw it up quite a bit.
Yeah, she kind of owns it.
Did you create that?
Yeah.
You did. Filing for the trademark?
That's great. Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
So much money.
Saturday night, 10 p.m. It's me. It's Kevin Smith, the writer and director. You love him. You know him. You can't live without him. We take the stage for Hollywood Babylon Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. It's a lot of fun, and I think you want to be there. You can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood, and the rest is self-evident.
No thanks, ma'am. I'm actually gay.
Oh, you're welcome. We love our gay viewers, listeners, fans, peoples. Today's celebrity birthdays: Meryl Streep, 68 years old. Cindy Lauper is 64. Bruce Campbell turns 59. Amy Brenneman is 53 years old today. Carson Daly's 44. And apologies to Donald Faison. Donald Faison from Scrubs, of course. Clueless. Very talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
Charming young man. We've had him in on the show.
It's Love his birthday.
It's his birthday, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All morning long, however, thanks to Dave, the King of Mexico, I've been saying Donald is 53 years old today.
Okay.
He is 43 years old today.
Oh, 43.
Don't mean to age Donald 10 years, so I want to make sure we know that I apologize for aging him 10
what
years.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
Well, Dave wrote it on the list wrong.
Dave?
Not my fault.
That's what I figured.
Your fault.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Sports with Jim Rome next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:06.
JimRome.com. That's where you want to be to hear the show from 9 till noon today. Great sports talk. Of course, play.in and iTunes for the podcast as well. Mr. Rome, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show for your weekly visit. How are you, sir?
Kevin and Bean. Bean and Kevin. What's up, fam? I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of excitement, and I think you said something off-air that I think is worth repeating for our listeners, which is for all the hate that the Golden State Warriors have received from a lot of quarters, they've transformed the NBA into year-round magic, right?
Bro, I never said that. Just playing. That's exactly what I said. Hey, remember how crappy the postseason was? How Golden State rolled over everybody? There were no good series. There was no competition. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying that's why the NBA is jacked up right now, because they went and got Kevin Durant.
Right.
Well, if not for that, we wouldn't have all these awesome moves that we're having right now every single day leading up to the NBA draft. So instead of cracking on Golden State for doing nothing wrong, by the way, everybody should be thanking them, because the out of season, the off season, is better than the postseason.
I got to tell you, also, I'm not a huge fan of the NBA in general, because it's basically give one guy the ball and then everyone clear out, and Golden State really plays an amazing team game. It's actually come back to actual teamwork.
No, yeah, that whole isolation thing, that doesn't work there. It's aesthetically really pleasing to the eye. They're selfless. They're unselfish. They move the ball. They share the ball. They check their egos at the door. I mean, whatever whack cliche you want to use, it applies to Golden State. So they're a beautiful thing to watch, which leads us to the draft tonight.
Yes.
And it's going to be really curious to see what everybody does. Like that Lakers trade, you saw what they did, right? They get rid of D'Angelo Russell. They have a major salary dump. And although, since you're going to ask me, although it's impossible to see exactly what they're going to do, it looks like it's an attempt.
What are they going to do, Jim?
No way! I can't believe you brought that up. What they're going to do, I think, it looks like they have a major salary dump so they can clear the way to draft Lonzo Ball. And on top of that, they dump Timofey Mozgov in one of the worst contracts ever. So they're setting themselves up for next summer. They've got their point guard of the future. They are doing smart things all of a sudden. They look great.
I feel like we didn't get enough out of Mozgov just in the commercial work alone.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
He's so well spoken.
Oh, dude, he is.
I'm a little disappointed.
Run that back for me. That was awesome.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
Wait, what?
He's the worst.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
Can I tell you something? That was like the worst contract ever. So all of a sudden, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka come in, and in one day, they did more than Jim Buss did the entire time that he was with the LA Lakers. So now all they have to do is find some sucker to take Luol Deng off their books, and then they'll be right there. And the way they're going, that could happen before the end of this segment. They are in a great spot.
I want to ask you a follow-up on something, because you talked about the trades that they made that freed up a lot of money for the Lakers. Now, they don't need much money for Lonzo, right? He's inexpensive as a rookie, right?
Yeah, see, actually, there's some moving parts right here. They can get him signed, but they're looking at next summer. And next summer is going to be huge for the NBA because of the guys who are coming free and clear, namely Paul George and also LeBron James.
Sure.
So they need to clear that spot, and they did that. See, the thing is, a lot of people are saying, how do you give up D'Angelo Russell? He was the second pick in the draft. You had him just 2 years.
Right.
Well, they had to move him to get rid of Mozgov. And to get rid of Mozgov, that opens up salary spot, or cap space, which means they might get George and or a second max free agent, maybe even LeBron. I could possibly see that coming too.
Okay. All right. So a lot of excitement around the Lakers tonight. Now, the Clippers, they're sitting out tonight because they don't have one in the first or second round. They don't have a pick, right? But they can still buy one, right?
See, here's the problem. The Lakers have a plan, and the Clippers have a lot of questions. I mean, is Chris Paul coming or going? What about Blake Griffin? Now DeAndre Jordan is suddenly on the block. it's a good thing that Jerry West is coming in to help see them through it, because the one thing West can do, and I mentioned LeBron, West and LeBron have a really good relationship. So if there's anybody who's got any shot at talking LeBron into coming to the Clippers, maybe it would be Jerry West because of their relationship. And most of all, because of the way the owner of the Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, is screwing everything up right now. So the Clippers have lots of different questions, not as good of a plan, but maybe Jerry West comes in and fixes
that. All right, we're all just guessing. If you had to guess Lakers or Clippers getting LeBron next summer.
Yeah, it's a great
Clippers
question.
Clippers maybe, right?
Maybe. If I were Jerry West, I would go to LeBron and say, hey, look, LeBron, if you're going to come out here, look at what we have to offer you. If you win a championship with the Clippers, it's going to mean so much more to you than winning a championship with the L.A. Lakers, who've already got like 16 of them. So if you won a championship with Cleveland and the L.A. Clippers, you would be the ultimate god. I would try to make that argument, and he is tight with Chris Paul. Those guys have always talked about playing together, so maybe the Clippers.
All right, final basketball question for me, Jim, and that is, are you happy with Luke Walton returning and Doc Rivers returning? Are those still both the right men for these teams?
Yeah, I'm big on both these guys. I love Luke Walton. I love his system. I love the way he relates to players. And, you know, I think Doc kind of gets a bad rap. I think the problem with Doc is he's got to coach that team and run that organization, and it's not easy to do both those things, and I think that Jerry West is going to help. I mean, they are paying the guy upwards of $5 million. And $5 million, if he could get LeBron to come here, you know Steve Ballmer's walking around with that money in his pocket anyway.
Yeah, true.
He can pull $5 million out of his ashtray in his car or go under his cushion in the sofa. So I like both those guys, and I really like Luke Walton where he is.
All right, let's change gears. We don't talk a lot about baseball this time of year, but the Dodgers are the most exciting franchise night after night in the entire league. Don't you agree, Jim?
They have won 6 straight. They've won 12 out of 13. And not only are they exciting because of the way they're playing, we've got drama. Yo, Yasiel Puig mashing a bomb last night and took a whole lot of time to admire his work and get around the bases, and that pissed the Mets off. He heard about it from the first baseman, Wilmer Flores, then the catcher, Travis Darno, when he reached home plate, then Jose Reyes and Yoenis Cespedes hit him between innings. All these guys crying about how Puig disrespected the Mets and the game itself. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I could point to like 20 things that Puig has done that have been really dumb,
right,
and brain dead, but not that.
I thought it was awesome as well. The second he hit it, he knew he crushed it, and he was just going to stand and admire it. And I say, good on you.
I'd say, dude is still at the home plate right now watching that bomb. He's still admiring his work. But my favorite thing, really quick, Flores said after the game, this was the guy's quote, "I don't think he knows what having respect for the game is. We're playing horrible right now. We don't need his crap. He disrespected us." Wait, you're playing horribly, so you don't need his crap. Whose fault is it? You're horrible.
Is that some sort of unspoken rule, by the way, that you're not allowed to do that? I mean, how?
I guess so.
How is it different than a pitcher striking a guy out and just, you know, moving his arms up and down because he's so excited that the pitch
landed? It's not at all. It's not different at all. I mean, baseball is the only sport in the world where guys can't celebrate something cool happening because of this so-called unwritten rule of baseball or the code. The reason they don't write these rules down is because if you ever saw them on a piece of paper, you'd think it was the stupidest crap you've ever seen.
Totally.
I mean, the guy's supposed to act a certain way because your team sucks. Congrats on one of the worst takes of 2017, Wilmer.
I also want to add, by the way, especially for Dodgers fans, that used to hate it when Barry Bonds used to do the exact same thing. It was because they hated Barry Bonds. When Yasiel Puig does it, he's your guy. So you're cool with it, right?
I mean, listen.
I'm cool with that on any team.
This whole code thing just gets more and more whack. And the only people who understand the code are the guys who play the game at some level. But it's 2017. It's changing. Let these guys flip the bat. Let them admire their work. Man, show some emotion. The game is so long and boring anyway. Give us something. If you don't like the way the guy acts when he hits a home run, keep him in the yard.
Exactly. Well said, Jim. JimRome.com for the show today, 9 till noon, 3 big hours of sports talk. Don't forget the podcast is available, too, the Jim Rome Daily Jungle, with all the best parts of every show, play.in and iTunes as well. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks.
Thanks for the best promotion ever. Peace.
Thank you, sir.
Don't forget, at 9 o'clock straight up this morning, once again, we got Hang Loose passes for the Kaboo Festival in San Diego, September 15th through the 17th. More than 60 bands, by the way. Tickets are on sale now for Weezer and Ex-Ambassadors and Garbage and the Chili Peppers and Jane's Addiction. And, of course, don't forget Shaquille O'Neal on the ones and twos.
Sure. That's craziness.
That's part of it, yeah. So 9 o'clock this morning coming up on K-Rock.
Yesterday something happened that was sort of weird, and that was the beer mug was in the studio, in another studio, and he was laughing so hard. And there was no one else in there. And we thought, what could possibly be that funny?
We knew he wasn't listening to this show.
Right. But went in there and found out that he was, in fact, recording his own farts. Now,
why would you bring this up again?
Because it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And
it was awful.
I mean, but
it had no business happening in the world anywhere.
Hold on. I'm putting it on Instagram.
Why are you
hold,
doing
please,
this?
K-Rock beer mug.
Look.
Loves.
I know that I'm alone on this, except for Ralph, because he's the only other adult who works here.
Own.
But there's farts are not funny, you guys.
Farts
are not funny. There's
that.
No...
That is
and especially
all.
In the workplace, there's no room for farts.
Listen to yourself.
So
I'm serious.
I mean, how much can you hate it?
Because
it's not the end of the
it's
world.
It's gross.
But don't you want Beer Mug to be happy?
No, I don't
why?
Care
don't
if Beer Mug is happy
why?
Or not. Look, here's the thing about that. There are some things that some people, for whatever reason, are down with, and other people are not down with. Now, in this case, I happen to be the minority, all right? I understand that most people find air coming out of your butt hilarious. I get that.
It's a pretty funny noise.
It's not.
It
it's
is.
Not. It's not at all. And yesterday you even played the noise.
I mean, this
was...
is...
Oh, don't. No,
I'm
no,
just
no,
saying
no.
this
Please
is...
don't do that.
He was entertaining himself. Beer Mug didn't need any other human being to have the best day of his life because of his beehole. Right?
Okay, that's fine. Look, farts are not funny. We can all decide on that. Here's all right.
All
stop.
From yesterday.
Oh, God. Why would you do this? This is the seriously.
So that brought up the topic: things that you think are funny that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bean hates it.
I do hate it very much. And I'll also tell
and
you.
Bean hates joy as well.
Maybe even not funny. Maybe things that you are, especially, you know, especially with the internet. There are some videos, for instance, and this happens all the time because we're always watching the viral videos and the things that we put in the roundup and stuff like that. And there are some things, Kevin, that you have zero tolerance for.
Right.
And other things I have zero tolerance
right.
for. Right. But they're never the same things.
Nope.
Like Dr. Pimple Popper videos. How much do people love the Dr. Pimple Popper videos?
So out.
You can't watch one
Wouldn't
second
watch, nope.
of those, right?
Nope. No interest.
So we thought it might be interesting to hear from you the things that you are at odds with your people. Either you love them and the people around you can't watch them, can't stand it, can't hear about it, don't want to know anything of it. Or the other way around is you hate it and you can't understand how other people can watch and enjoy it.
I have a thing that I have hashtagged watched this over 100 times. And it's because I watch videos over 100 times and then I post them. And basically it's people wiping out, falling down.
Now, Allie's not here today,
right.
But she was telling you off the air yesterday that she cannot watch somebody fall down
right.
or get hit in the nuts. Those are two of the things that she will not, she
that's
has no
absurd.
Time for.
What is she, communist?
She's not a communist.
I can watch people fall down for 3 days straight without eating and or sleeping.
Maybe she just doesn't like seeing people get hurt.
Well, but it's not, I don't want to see them get hurt, but them falling. Pretty damn funny.
It's not funny if somebody falls down, though. That's sad.
Wrong. I do like them to be okay in general. And if they're okay, then it's all good.
How about if somebody gets hit in the nuts? How do you feel about that?
Pretty funny.
We got a video that's going in the roundup tomorrow of a supercut of 4.5 minutes of people getting hit in the nuts. There's like one right after another.
I'll
like
watch that three times.
All right. I'm going to throw mine out. And by the way, we're taking your calls, taking your texts at 1-800-520-1067. What's the thing that you love to watch and nobody – we're not talking about TV shows. We're talking about things like on videos on the internet and stuff. You love to watch and nobody else does or vice versa. I'll tell you what mine is, and this may be a tiny bit off topic. Mine is car chases.
Oh,
am I the only one that we know that hates car chases?
Yes. I think so.
I cannot for the life of me understand how anybody can get excited about and waste time watching a car chase.
Did you see the one a couple days ago where the guy went off the
freeway? No, I never see any of them.
And he drove onto a golf course?
No.
And got stuck in the grass?
I am furious.
Come on.
Anytime I turn on the TV and I'm turning in to watch the news or something like that and it's being preempted for a car chase because that's not news.
I have a group of friends. The news they're doing is rarely news. I have a group of friends that text me every time any car chase is on anywhere. And it's awesome. People on Twitter do the same thing. They'll let me know that there's a car chase on because it's the best.
It's possible to block those people. You don't have to be
a
part of it.
I'm happy that those people give me a heads up because I love car chases.
Let's talk to Lee from Silver Lake. By the way, I said we're not talking about TV shows, but Lee may have the one exception of the program that is more divisive than any show in the history of television.
All right. Lee, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you.
Good.
You love something that everybody else hates or vice versa?
It's not the show. It's the actual, comedy routine. I don't care where they are, a show, a movie, doesn't matter. The Three Stooges.
You hate or love?
Hate them. And all my ex-husband and all my boyfriends love.
Is that why you dumped him? You got rid of him? Was that the deal breaker? Three Stooges?
No, it's a gender thing. It's very... Ask every woman and every man, and you'll see that it's a gender thing.
No, I think you're probably pretty right in that. It's a generalization, of course, and there are always exceptions, but you're probably right that it's mostly guys that like the Three Stooges.
What is it that you find so offensive about it, Leah, that you hate so much?
It's superficial. At 11, I was listening to George Carlin and Richard Pryor, so...
Okay, so you're too smart for your own good.
All right, so
Kind of. It just was over...
It's too childish.
Repetitive.
Are you saying repetitive?
She's saying repetitive a lot in a row. All right, Lee, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Amy real quick. Whittier, line two up next. Something that you love, everyone else hates, or vice versa. Amy, what's yours?
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I just want to say that, it's so tacky, but I actually enjoy watching, twerk videos and, dance hip-hop videos.
Okay.
I get dancing, but twerking videos in 2017, are there such things?
What, are you crazy?
They're everywhere.
Really.
Wasn't twerking, 4 years
ago?
Are
you on the internet, Bean?
Yes. Wasn't twerking, 4 years ago?
Twerking, first of all, is forever.
Amy, is twerking forever?
I don't know because I'm really bored and I have a lot of time on my hands sometimes and I have a hard time sleeping. So I'm like, I'll just look at twerking videos.
We'll just watch some people
everybody.
Twerk.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I've learned a little something here today.
Thank you, Amy, for the call. The number is 1-800-520-1067 if you want to call and or text, and we'll continue next. All right. We are just ahead of Green Day. We're talking about things that make you deliriously happy and other people do not necessarily agree.
Tina writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, I hate videos where pets are dressed up as people. I can't do it. I can't see it. It's all kinds of creepy.
Same. I don't find it creepy. I just think the animal's unhappy.
Yeah. Let's try Jessica, by the way. Let's see where we come down on Jessica. Line 4, please. Santa Fe Springs up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks. You love what that other people seem not to.
So mine's vice versa. So I hate watching fight videos. People fighting, whether it be guys or girls, I just hate watching fight videos.
I'm with you on that.
I am with you, too. And by the way, the whole internet is filled with people getting in fights in parking lots in Walmarts and late at night at Waffle House. I mean, you almost can't log on without seeing a Waffle House fight video.
I don't get it, and I can't understand it, and I don't want to watch it at all.
Why do people think that that's entertaining to watch people beat each other up in a street? I don't get that.
I don't know either.
I'm nervous and sad, and I don't like it.
All right. I think we're with you on that one. Thank you, Jessica, for the call. 1-800-520-1067. More calls right after Green Day.
So Beer Mug's fault, this whole thing is, right? He started it.
I mean, technically, he was enjoying himself a lot in the other studio, and we could see through the glass, and we didn't know what was going on in there. So then we went in, and we found out that he was recording. He was putting the microphone, close to B-hole, and then making magic.
That's great use of our equipment. Brittany writes in, thank you for making my 7-year-old laugh hysterically with all the fart sounds. All right, so good. So Kevin and the 7-year-old are entertained by Muggs and his farting.
You know what? Part of it, though, is the genuine joy that it brings Muggs.
Let's talk to Jimmy, by the way, because he's got a farting situation going on. I promise you guys, San Gabriel Line 2, farting is not the topic. The topic is things that you either love or hate that you don't get that other people don't. And Jimmy, what's going on at your house, my friend?
My best friend and I in college, we did the exact same thing. We have what we call a fart journal.
A journal?
I bought one of those. Yes, I bought one of those little recorders to record, lectures on for my classes. But that proved to be kind of boring. So we decided to turn that around and use it to record our farts, and we call it our fart journal.
I mean, honestly. Listen to him, I mean, though. Jimmy's happy, yeah. Bean. Why do you not want Jimmy to be happy?
And how did you find a woman to marry you, Jimmy?
Well, I didn't tell her about it until after we got married.
Oh, see, that's grounds for divorce right there.
Yeah, and she loves it, right?
Not exactly.
Not as much.
Okay, oh, what a surprise.
On my bachelor party, Adam Carolla would light his on fire. And he would yell, "Lights!" And everybody would turn off the lights. And he would do it. And then he would laugh as if it was the first and only time it's ever happened. And humans have no idea what that is. And he was just so deliriously happy.
That's it, Kevin. You're just about making people happy.
Right.
Let's go to Nathan, Huntington Beach, line 5. I'm not sure I get his fascination with this topic. Is he alone on this one?
For me, he is. Yeah. Nathan, hi.
Hi. So I think it is hilarious when people get sunburn and peel. All like to my friends, if that happens to them, they're trying to like kind of just mix it all in and get tan again. I'll like grab a piece. And
oh man, that's so gross.
What is wrong with you?
I don't need somebody pulling skin off other people.
What is up with our listeners today?
You're a terrible friend.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Lawrence, Roland Heights, line 4. I don't know anyone who doesn't love what Lawrence is calling about, but let's find out if there's some tension.
Hey, Lawrence.
Hello, guys. Maury teen fraternity test.
I mean, come on.
It's pretty good.
What's not to love? Are there people out there who don't love the Maury paternity tests?
I guess there are people who think that, you know, it's sad, you know, they're young people, and I'm just saying to myself, well, that's what you get. You're in a public place and you look like fools.
Look, it saves you the $30, whatever it costs for a paternity test.
You
right?
are you just, not the father. And then the guy dances around the stage like it's the best news he's ever gotten.
And I like the, and what about the shows where there's a lady out there with like 7 guys right. and one of them could be the father? I mean, that's just drama right there.
Yeah, I think I'm in.
Love it. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Rebecca Castaic, line 7. This is a weird one, too. I don't get this at all.
Hey, Rebecca, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Hi there. You hate or, and or love what?
Okay, my husband and I both work from computers, so we Skype all day.
Right.
And he really, really enjoys sending me John Cena videos.
Okay.
I absolutely hate them. I don't understand where he finds them and why he sends them to me, but he thinks they're the funniest thing in the world, and I invest like 3 minutes and then find out it's a John Cena video.
Okay. How do you not know 2 minutes and 50 seconds in what you're watching?
I don't. I feel like he's sending me something legitimate. I don't get it.
First of all, your husband is the best.
What kind of videos are we talking about? Are we talking about wrestling videos or what?
No, like the ones where they call and it's like, remember the one where the lady answered the phone and he was trying to sell her something?
Right.
And okay.
Comedy.
So it's like that.
Comedy videos, yeah.
Okay, so he's found like 10 different ones. His favorite one is the Dragon Ball Z, and then it turns into John Cena at the end.
Right.
And I can't. And then I'm like, why? You just wasted my time. And he's just laughing hysterically.
Well, that's why, I guess.
Rebecca, why do you not like your husband to be happy?
I love my husband to be happy. I don't understand the fascination with the John Cena.
All right.
Like, he thinks it's the absolute God gift to creation that these videos have been made.
It sounds like it's working, and he should keep doing what he's doing.
I'm with him. Thank you, Rebecca, for the call. Let's do Jeff, because we talked about this specifically. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
Talking about stuff you love that other people hate.
I got two.
All right.
People falling.
People falling down.
Oh, I'm 13.
Everything is funnier than people falling.
No. People falling is the best thing that has ever existed. Does it matter to you if they're injured or not, Jeff? Because it does matter to me. Like, I don't want to see someone get really hurt, but I do want to see them fall all day.
Sprained ankle I'm okay with.
Okay.
Nothing more.
So sprained ankle is where you draw the line.
Okay.
Right. Watch the lady in Target, 70 years old. She was slipping like she was on ice skates, and it was a good 15 seconds before she fell.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Oh, I was dying.
That was a pretty sweet.
Nothing funny than senior citizens falling down.
I mean, honestly. No, but almost falling down for 15 seconds is just magic.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. And the second one is getting hit in the nuts.
Right. So you're in on both.
Oh, until it happens to you.
Well, I mean, it's not as funny when it happens to you, but in retrospect, it is.
No, no, not funny at all. My wife hates watching people get hit in the nuts. I walked past her a couple days ago. She kicked me square in the nuts,
yeah.
Blocked me immediately, and she laughed harder than ever.
And there's the moral of the story, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
That's your song, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal the Man song, right?
Dig it the most. We're just saying, I want to see them, and I want to see Fitz and the Tantrums play.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good match.
Back to back.
That's a good match.
Right? That'd be like the summer of love right there.
Well, I can't help you with Fitz, but Portugal the Man, there are some seats still available for the House Blues in Anaheim on July 27th. The Palladium shows are sold out, but you can still see them down in Anaheim, and they are a great band. And again, the new album is called Woodstock. It's just now out. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Check out that video when you get a chance, because it is trippy. It's like a baby with a giant head dancing and overalls and a black lady lip syncing and people being set on fire and
sounds pretty good.
Sitting on a hood of a car in a snowstorm in a junkyard. Nuts. But they're
rock
rebels,
and roll.
Man. It's rock and roll is what it is.
That's what that guy said.
They're rebels.
That guy's excited.
I don't know that I would call them rock and roll, but I do like the
it
new
album. It sounds like remember the old Andy Griffith show?
Yeah.
Remember Barney Fife, the deputy Barney Fife?
Yes.
It's like if Barney Fife was at a Kiss concert.
Rock and roll!
Rock and roll, Andy!
That's what it's
Gee, Barn, why so excited?
Rock and roll!
And Bean, you were trying to do that for real, right?
That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Rock
I don't know who
and
that
roll.
Guy I don't know who that guy is.
That's rock and roll, what can I say?
Right?
Gee, I like this guy better.
Rock and roll!
Opie, something's wrong with Barney. He's all high on goofballs. And B.
Rock and roll!
All right, speaking of rock and roll, Gene Simmons is pulling his application to trademark the devil horns hand gesture so often used in accompaniment with the phrase rock and roll.
Rock and roll! Did he say I'm pulling it because it's incredibly stupid?
He has not made a statement. We just know that he's pulled it. He claimed that he wanted to trademark it so that no one could use that particular hand gesture with the index and small fingers extended upward, the thumb extended perpendicular. He would prohibit the use of anyone doing that for entertainment, namely in live performances by a musical artist or personal appearances by a musical artist.
Because he created
it? He created it, Kevin. He said in 1974 he created it. Of course, it has been the gesture that signifies I love you in American Sign Language for many, many years.
He created that, too.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Sure.
He said, we laid down the templates. When you see bands rocking out in sync, that's us. When you see bands putting up that two-finger devil horn salute, that started with Kiss. Now, Ronnie James Dio legendarily started it. By in Italy, it's known as the malocchio, or evil eye. It's a Sicilian gesture. When you do this, you're putting a curse on
when
someone.
When you point the fingers at
you
someone?
You point the fingers at someone. But Ronnie would put his thumb over his middle fingers.
Very different.
Gene would put his thumb out.
Right.
Now, Gene says his was inspired by Spider-Man shooting webs.
Okay, so Spider-Man came up with it.
In 1964. So
by
really,
his own words.
When asked if Ronnie actually started, Simmons replied, well, I've heard Ronnie say that to my face, and I say, God bless you. I mean him no ill will, but I think he's wrong. Mine came from Spider-Man doing his hand signal as an homage to him. And if you see me in my photos, I'm sticking out my thumb. See, that's where he makes the
right.
difference between the two.
This was back when he was defending the trademark application, right?
Right, but that application has been revoked.
Yeah.
He's abandoned that after just two short weeks of battling.
That's probably a smart move.
I think so.
As that's incredibly stupid.
Probably on his part.
But he does still own that anytime we rock and roll all night and then party every day, that's still Gene, right?
That would be his, yeah.
Okay.
Han Solo has a new captain aboard the Millennium Falcon. Famously, Chris Miller and Phil Lord, the directors of the Lego movie, were fired from the project this week, leaving Lucasfilm and Disney to scramble to find a new director for that film since they are in the middle of shooting it.
Can I guess?
Sure you can.
Bobo.
No, Bobo was not available. He's currently working on another production.
Okay.
I think he's directing Transformers 6.
Count Smokula.
The exhaust pipe butthole. Count Smokula.
Dr. Boogie.
No, Dr. Boogie not available either. Go ahead.
Lady Gaga!
Go ahead.
Come on, Ralph.
Go ahead.
It's fun, right?
Not if you're not going to enjoy it. We're not going to enjoy it.
No, go nuts.
No, you
feel
do your
free.
Thing.
No.
We're not trying to sabotage.
Kelly Clarkson!
Yeah, sure.
I tried to sabotage your segment here.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Bam Anderson.
All right, good. Yep, get it all out.
New order.
Enjoy yourselves.
Flavor Flav!
Flex away.
Joe Perry.
Mm-hmm. Be real.
Johnny Depp.
He's got some coffee. I'll be right over here.
Charlie Manson.
Say hello to Lenny and Squiggy.
The Louisiana Creeper.
Good call. I'm Wink Martindale.
Biggie Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Fetty Wap.
Jesus.
Should be a fresh pot.
Johnny Asshole.
Really good.
Senor Grande.
Here he is, Keith Richards.
Is he a pig?
He hate me.
Turd Ferguson.
What's up? It's Hulk Hogan.
Boba Fett.
How many more you want, Ralph?
We got another half hour.
I'm sorry, are you talking to me?
We got another half hour in this.
Oh, I checked out with Bobo.
Oh, okay.
Who's directing the Han Solo movie, Ralph?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, come on.
No one have time. We're out of time now.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Meryl Streep is 68 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Cindy Lauper is 64. Bruce Campbell, 59 years old today. Amy Brenneman is 53. Carson Daly turns 44 years old. Donald Faison celebrates his 43rd birthday.
Hi, it's Cap.
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard.
The director. Oh, the new
we were
director
so close.
The Han Solo movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Dr. Drew is next.
Ciamara Contreras from West Covina just won some tickets. The Hang Loose passes to the Kaboo Music Festival, Arts, Comedy, and Cuisine in Del Mar mid-September. Congratulations. Thanks so much for listening. Ciamara, your chance to win coming up soon here on K-Rock. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew. This is a good one today. Doc, how are you? Welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm great. Boy, we're having fun off the air, man.
Yeah. Drew was judging me hard.
He was, man. But I think you turned him around, Kevin. I think he's down now.
I am so. DT whatever.
Drew Drew is going to go to EDC with us next year.
Yeah, I'm going.
All right.
We get a helicopter.
Sure.
We get a helicopter. Hey, Drew, I know what you want to talk about. It's a serious subject, and I was watching a little bit of you and Bob Forrest talking about this on the This Life podcast yesterday. Where do you tape that to podcast? Is that in your house?
Yeah, in our so-called playroom. Where the
how many dogs do you have?
Two now. My mom you're going to change the tenor of this whole conversation. My mom died a couple weeks ago, and we inherited her dog.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yes, okay.
You have two dogs, Drew. You don't have to bring us all down.
She lived to a very – you're right. She lived to a very – listen, I'm you know, I'm an internist, so I deal with death and dying all the time.
Right.
When people get well into their 90s, I get more interested in the dignity and quality of dying as opposed to squeezing every day.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So. Agreed. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but that's a good long life to live, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Celebrate. Absolutely.
And by the way, an easy transition this time because we are talking about another recent death, which is the great Carrie Fisher, who we all love so much. And you had a lot of thoughts, and it sounds like you maybe weren't surprised when the autopsy results came out.
We were not. But you're mentioning Bob Forrest. Now, of course, he's the guy with the hat and the glasses that I worked with for many years. You saw him on Celebrity Rehab. And we were speculating when we found that, you know, when she did die that day, we said, well, you know what? I bet you pharmaceuticals somehow figured into this.
Because she had a problem?
Well, whenever an addict dies prematurely, it's just always the case. Now, we didn't expect that she went all the way the way she did, but you know what? That's the nature of the condition. It's just reminding how powerful it is. It's a chronic disease. I'm stunned that people are in any way conflicted about taking a good hard look at this information, because it, just the way if somebody had diabetes and their diabetes flared, I mean, Flounder, the guy from Animal House, died of complications of diabetes, and people didn't look at him and go, oh my God, there's something wrong with him, we can't talk about it. No, addiction is the same thing. It's a chronic illness. It sometimes flares, even in people with long-term sobriety, and when it flares, it's potentially fatal, and it can be quite dramatic. And in poor Carrie's case, which, again, everyone loved Carrie, and this is a tragedy.
Tell us what the results were.
Well, amongst other things, she had heroin and ecstasy and cocaine and alcohol.
And that's what you mean when you said you were a little bit surprised that she went all the way, is that she got back. She was clean for a while and then got back into drugs and ended up all the way back to heroin and methadone.
And our suspicion is that she, because she also had some Vicodin in her system, is that she probably, you know, she had a lawsuit about 3 years ago, and she probably couldn't sleep and then got some sleeping meds and then got a headache and probably got some pain meds, and then it's all the way in at that point. And unfortunately, the way my peers look at addiction is they go, oh, well, we can give you some Vicodin, but we'll control. We'll make sure we monitor exactly what you take, and just as long as you don't take too much, everything is fine. It's not the case. As soon as they're exposed to, like Chris Cornell and Ativan, like Carrie Fisher or Vicodin, as soon as they're exposed, the disease reactivates. Even though you may not see that particular drug escalate, the fact is their disease now is in full blossom, and it will progress, and there will be consequences. And you have to plan for that. You have to anticipate that. Let's say somebody needs a surgery or something.
Right.
There's ways to deal with that. But they just think, okay, you'll just take this for a little while and be fine. No, not at all. And by that point, they're starting to lie and hide. Their disease is active. They're ashamed of what they've done. They kind of know better, and off they go. Now, in this case with Carrie, she'd been in Ireland or the United Kingdom filming that show Catastrophe. You guys watch that show?
Yes.
Yes.
I love that show, and she was fantastic on it. And my suspicion is she ran out of medicine or something. And, you know, in England, they use a lot of ecstasy and a lot of method. They use these other medicines quite liberally, and I suspect she got her hands on that stuff over there.
A couple of other questions about Carrie Fisher's autopsy, doctor. Is it unusual to see somebody with so many different drugs in their system? I would think that if you have a drug that you like, you take that drug. But she had like a dozen things going on.
Well, it's something called polydrug addiction, and that's in fact, you know, what she has is polydrug. And you know, look, a lot of the stuff was sort of congeners of opiates and breakdown products of opiates, and you know, she diet coke. If you're doing cocaine, that's not a far cry to use alcohol and ecstasy, and then you're just chronically taking opiates. You're a drug addict. That's what you do. It's one of the sort of, I think, the things that people miss if they're on a replacement therapy like Suboxone. Doctors, again, forget to test for other drugs because they'll often not be taking the other opiates, but they sure will be taking other drugs. It's the nature of the condition. But let me say one other thing about the autopsy results.
Yes.
People are getting confused about those results. She died of addiction. But her daughter put out a statement, and her daughter was spot on about it. And God bless her. Just listen to what their daughter Billy is saying, and that's the truth.
What did she say?
She said, you know, she died of addiction and mental illness. She had a couple of bipolar medications on board, too, which were very appropriate. And that's that. It's a sad disease, but please don't let this stigmatize her or her condition, and it should remind people how important it is to gain access to treatment. Period. End of story. That's it. She was right on about that.
Why do you think there's so much judgment from people on
this? I don't understand. And furthermore, there's the way the press reports this makes me insane. Do you understand? This medical examiner's report was excellent, one of the best I've ever read, frankly, at least without a forensic sort of evaluation, a real full forensic evaluation.
Right.
And in there, they're charged with very specific legal standards in terms of determining the cause of death. Like, there has to be a direct smoking gun line of reasoning. For instance, they were looking hard for cocaethylene, which is a combination of cocaine and alcohol, which she didn't have in her blood, which helped them time when she took the cocaine and when she took the alcohol. But there's no cocaethylene. Cocaethylene can cause cardiac arrhythmias and sudden death. They were sort of building that case, but they go, no, we couldn't prove that. So we really couldn't, and we can't really know that the opioid stopped her breathing. We sure know she had sleep apnea, so that's probably contributed. So we really don't know the cause of death, right? They couldn't conclude to a legal standard.
Right.
But from a clinical standard, she died of opiate addiction, period, end.
I was confused and surprised because I don't think in all my years of reading obituaries I've ever seen sleep apnea in a headline. How significant a factor was that?
Minor. Minor. Okay. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Right.
The medical examiner has a very different way of thinking, documenting, and the legal standards. It's a legal document, the cause of death. And so, for instance, part of if you – remember with George Michael, I was getting all upset about the natural causes.
Right.
But guess what? Carrie Fisher died of natural causes too. That their definition of natural causes is not yours or mine.
Interesting.
And so she died of drug addiction, clinically, my clinical impression. And we have a different way of looking at things than pathologists and medical examiners.
Dr. Durr, what's your read on somebody that says in all my years of reading obituaries?
I just think about the Edmund Fitzgerald immediately.
DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all of the Doc's live appearances and podcasting. Don't forget his show with Mike Catherwood, noon to 3 on 790 KHZ. ABC, the Adam Carolla podcast, the Weekly Infusion, the Dr. Drew, the This Life, so many. I can't believe how many podcasts this dude does in a week. And, of course, the Heal app is available at the App Store and Google Play, too. Get a doctor to come to the comfort of your own home. Good
Thank
talk,
you,
Doc.
Sir. You got
Thank
it,
you for the time. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 10.
One final look at the showbiz beat for a Thursday. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
Big day for movie fans as Netflix announces the films they are adding to their catalog. You can now stream E.T., the Extraterrestrial. If you've never seen that, you can see it via Netflix. Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Not heard of that.
Is now available as well.
And this is the first Star Wars movie ever to be available on Netflix, I'm told.
You are told correctly, sir. Titanic, many more beginning in July. They're also going to be offering up TV shows like Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, iZombie, Pretty Little Liars will all be available on Netflix. Sadly, I don't know why they do this. It's not like they've got a warehouse where they got to make room. You know, we're moving in E.T. Can we get rid of some of those other movies? We just have no more room in the warehouse.
Yeah,
it's a freaking digital world. Just keep the movies in there.
It seems overly complicated. Do it like Spotify does it. If it's on there, it's on there forever.
Well, they're getting rid of some classics to make room for the new movies. The Ghost Whisperer.
The Ghost Whisperer.
The series, The Ghost Whisperer.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't that Jennifer Love Hewitt?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, was that her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Annie? Oh, Annie.
Can't get Annie. Anywhere.
Oh, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Right, that's the song.
Bet
right.
your bottom mm-hmm. dollar that tomorrow.
Right.
There'll be sun. Just thinking about
right. We get it.
Tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Chases away the cobwebs and the sorrow.
Did you start that one in high school too, Ralph?
May, when I'm stuck with a day.
Yeah, that's great.
And lonely.
I mean,
I just pick up my grin.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Ralph knows a lot of words to that song. Hey, is this the old school Annie from way back, or is this the one from like 5 years ago? The Black Annie, remember?
Tanny?
Blanny?
Yeah, Tanny, right.
Yeah. No, this is the original.
Okay.
And Batman. Batman's got to go. I'm Batman. Michael Keaton, of course, as Batman.
Oh.
So they got to make room for
that him. Is odd that they...
Why do they remove movies?
Yeah, that is odd.
I don't know.
Why do they do it?
I mean, in the early years of Netflix, that was their hook, is that they had all the movies. Yeah, you can go down to Blockbuster if you want, but they're probably not going to have the stock that we have because we have so many because we're digital. But then as they started to get increasingly into original programming, they seemed to be backing off on the movies being a thing. So I guess they feel like they don't need them all now.
Were they trying to keep it from going down to the Blockbuster? Were they, Bean?
Well,
because you were living in the 80s when going on Netflix?
When Netflix began.
They were a DVD service when they began.
Yes.
They were not digital.
Boom.
They were practical.
Yes, they absolutely were. But what I'm saying is they used to advertise that they had the biggest library, bigger than any place else. You know what I mean? And now it seems like they're going, and now people get them for their original programming. I think that's what you know Netflix for now is their series, their Orange is the New Blacks and Arrested Development and things like that. They're doing a good job, whatever it is they're doing.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. We just mentioned that being added to the lineup. New Star Wars news this morning. Phil Lord and Chris Miller, of course, this week have been let go as the directors of the new standalone Han Solo movie. Well, Disney and Lucasfilm just announced the man's going to step in and finish that film for them.
Anyone we've heard of?
No, just a relatively unknown director who has mostly just worked in small independent feature films
mm-hmm.
by the name of Ron Howard.
Yeah!
Will be stepping in.
All right.
Ron Howard.
He knows what he's doing. He's done a thing or two.
And he's got a little history of George Lucas, too, by the way. He, of course, was the star of George's breakout film pre-Star Wars. American Graffiti was the name of that film, which went into production 45 years ago this week, by the way.
Wow.
So that's the long-standing relationship those two have.
I love that movie. So great. Didn't you agree?
Ron Howard will be stepping in to finish up.
Come on, Ralph. You're with me on American Graffiti being great.
I don't think there's any question about that, really. Okay, I don't think that's up for debate.
Well, I'm just saying a lot of people
considered a classic.
I know, but a lot
I've
of people...
I've heard that's good.
You know, I like that Godfather. That appeals to me. I enjoy that when I watch it.
No, hold on.
This Casablanca I've heard so much about. I saw that the other day, and I think it's quite good.
American Graffiti is not in that category among lots of people. They don't think about that movie. It's not a movie that's on TV all the time and stuff. I feel like it's a little bit forgotten by now. Like, I bet Kevin's never seen it. I'd be willing to bet, for instance.
Don't be ridiculous.
I bet you've never seen American Graffiti. It's Harrison Ford, and it's Richard Dreyfuss.
But you're using Kevin as the barometer of the average moviegoer?
I'm speaking
for... I have seen it, but I'm not positive I could give you a lot of detail.
But you've seen it.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Yes. Bean, how about that?
I'm just saying...
If Kevin's seen it, everybody's seen it.
It's a great movie, and a lot of people probably don't know about it. That's all.
God damn it. If you pull out some Owl City, we're going to burn this mother to the ground.
I've got it at my fingertips if you need it.
Oh, man.
Ariana Grande continues to be nice.
I'm sorry, who? I didn't hear you, Rob. Who?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande? Yeah. Get a load up some supplies and get back to the coal mines.
Ariana Grande?
I don't know why I said it that way. Is continuing to raise money for the victims of that brutal attack that happened outside of her concert at the Manchester Arena on May 22nd. She has got this tiara that she wore to promote her Dangerous Woman album. It's designed by a high-end fashion designer named Mary Collins. She pays $675 for it. She wore it on her head throughout most of the tour. She's now auctioning that off, and all the proceeds will go to One Love Manchester charity. Starting bid, $5,000, by the way. If you want to own a piece of Ariana Grande history.
Bean, I can see you wearing that.
Well, me too.
That's not for me.
And while we're talking about raising money for worthy charities, if you follow the news at all, you saw this horrific fire at Grenfell Tower in London. This was a high-rise apartment building and a tragic, tragic fire where hundreds, well, maybe not 179 so far, I think the count may be. Londoners lost their lives, but of course many families were touched by this tragedy, and the London artistic community certainly has stepped up to the plate to help out. Adele famously was there on site while the fire was going on, trying to comfort the families and the victims. She went to the firehouse after the fact to thank the firefighters who were available on scene there to help put out that fire. And now the musical community in London has stepped up. Over 50 artists have combined their talents along with Simon Cowell to put together a charity recording of Simon and Garfunkel's classic song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. The Who is on this, Brian May of Queen, Nile Rodgers of Chic, James Blunt, Gregory Porter, Rita Ora, Lewis Tomlinson, many, many others. You can go to artistsforgrenfell.com. That's G-R-E-N-F-E-L-L is Grenfell. Artistsforgrenfell.com. They're trying to raise money. You can buy the download there and make a donation as well. Here's a little piece of the song. The video is devastating. The song is very inspiring and really beautifully done. Here's a little from Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Posting that story on Kevin and Bean's Facebook page if you'd like to see it.
Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays for the day. Meryl Streep is 68 years old today. Cyndi Lauper turns 64. Bruce Campbell, love him, 59 years old today. Ash, of course, from the...
Ash versus Evil Dead.
Grateful Dead, right? Grateful
it's
Dead.
Evil.
Wasn't he the drummer for the Grateful
it's
Dead?
Evil.
I would agree to disagree on this one. Amy Brenneman's 53 years old today. Excuse me. Carson Daly is 44. And actor Donald Faison of Scrubs, 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We have a brand-new internet roundup. We have one of the founders of Emo Night LA. We've got the amazing Jonathan in studio and your tickets for WWE Raw as well tomorrow morning.